Chapter 6 Salt, Pepper, Sugar. God leads us together. When I was a student at Bob Jones University, I dated several fellows for special programs and occasions, but when any of them started to get serious, I quickly dropped them. I did not feel really comfortable with any of them. During my sophomore year, one fellow took charge while we were on his society outing. During this day together, he announced to me we should go steady. He did not want me to date anyone else. We dated for several months, and he went home with me for Christmas, where we were able to get to know each other better. It seemed like we were too much alike and didn't really trust each other, so we broke up after returning to school. I was devastated and went around with a long face. A friend stopped to talk to me one day. "What happened to your smile and your joyful face?" She knew I had just broken up with the fellow who had been going steady with me, so she said, "Friend, it's not the end of the world. The Lord probably has someone much better for you. Just trust him." My friend's challenge knocked some sense into me, and I began searching my heart. What if the Lord did not give me a husband? Was I willing to serve the Lord as a single woman? I struggled with this decision for a while, and finally told the Lord, "I'm willing to serve you in whatever way you want, Lord, as long as I'm in the center of your will, even if it means I never have a husband and family." The Lord flooded me with his peace, and my whole countenance changed into joy and light. It was probably about this time an incident happened that I didn't know about until Roland told me many years later. He was sitting at his assigned table in the dining common when he glanced across the room and saw me waiting tables. As he watched me with my face glowing, he suddenly made an announcement to his table mates. "You see that girl over there? I'm going to marry that girl." He had no idea who I was or what my name was, but the Lord gave him the assurance I was to be his wife. As I considered what classes to take that second semester, the Lord led me to take a missions course. The first day in class, as we sat waiting for the teacher's arrival, I heard a voice behind me saying in a loud whisper, "Bush, Bush." Since my last name was Bush, I turned around to see who wanted me. A friend from Hawaii, Tim Costales, said, "I want you to meet a friend of mine. His name is Roland Cornelius." I smiled and greeted Roland as the teacher came into the class. Even though our class was small, the teacher decided to seat us alphabetically, putting Roland Cornelius next to me, Arlene Bush. I did not pay much attention to him during that next few classes. But one day I happened to glance down at his notebook and saw my name and dorm room number written there. I was shocked, but didn't say anything. Another day he tried a different tactic. When I glanced his way, I saw he was holding his pen between his lower lip and his chin. I thought, what kind of a guy is this? When my roommates heard about Roland, they said to me, "Did you know that fellow is the same person who did those balancing tricks at our student body fun program?" "Oh no, really?" I replied in shock. At that program, he balanced an open umbrella on his nose while playing Showers of Blessing with one hand on the piano and a trumpet with the other hand. He also balanced a butcher knife on his nose while playing Lord, I'm Coming Home on the piano. He balanced four Coke bottles on top of each other on his chin without touching them, and he balanced a long ladder, a wooden desk, and a bicycle on his chin. Of course, not all at once. What did I say? What a character! Soon Roland started walking with me to lunch after our class, to the dorm, to other classes, etc. As I got better acquainted with this young man, I realized I felt completely at ease with him and enjoyed his company. The young men on campus had a custom in those days of writing notes to the young ladies in the dorms to ask them for dates. Roland started writing notes to me, but he never asked me for a date. The hall monitor said she always looked for the envelope or whatever came from Roland because they were always interesting. For instance, one time he drew an airplane on the envelope and put Airline Bush across the side of the plane instead of Arlene Bush. He drew other interesting things on the envelopes. A little box came from him one night with a rock inside. A small note was included which stated, "I didn't want you to think I'm taking you for granted." When he signed his name on his notes, I had a hard time reading it and was not sure what to call him. When I asked him, during one of our walks together, he said, "My friends call me Corny for short, but not for long." He told me he would tell me what to call him when he wrote to me. I looked forward to getting his next note. When it came, it included a list of names I could call him: salt, pepper, mustard, ketchup, sugar, and honey. I joined the game by going down the list each day and calling him a different name each time until I came to Honey. That one stuck, and we called each other Honey from that day until the day the Lord took my honey home to heaven, 41 years later. Roland did finally ask me for a date to an artist series program. I learned much later he had not asked me before because he was afraid I would say no. From that day on, I did not have any interest in dating anyone else. One of our assignments in our missions class was to write a research paper on a mission board of our choice. My home church was a member of the Conservative Baptist Fellowship at that time, and their mission board was the only one with which I was acquainted. I naturally researched that one. When our papers were completed and ready to be turned in to the teacher, I glanced over at Roland's paper. I was immediately impressed and curious. He had a cutout of Africa on the cover of his paper with a picture of an African inside the cutout. He also had interesting pictures of Africa and missionaries in action scattered throughout the paper. "Honey, what board did you write about?" I asked. He said, "Sudan Interior Mission." I had never heard of that mission, so I asked, "May I read your paper when you get it back?" "Sure. I believe that is a mission board the Lord wants me to join," he replied. He later explained that a missionary from his church served under that board as a Bible translator in the Sudan, and he was interested in working with him. Roland told me one day he wanted me to meet his parents. His father did not like to travel, but his mother boarded a bus in Atlanta and came to Greenville, South Carolina, to meet me. She was such a sweet Christian lady with a giving spirit, and she brought me a pretty new dress. I seldom got new clothes, so was extremely appreciative of her gift and love. My parents were far away in Illinois, so they did not get to meet Roland until several months later when they came for his graduation. Just before Easter, I took a few days off from school to go home and visit my family. Rowan had told me his favorite color was red, so I bought a new red dress to wear on Easter Sunday. When I returned to campus and was ready to get dressed for the Easter morning worship service, a box arrived at my room with my name on it. It contained a beautiful big orchid corsage. Oh no, I could not wear my new red dress with an orchid. I gladly changed plans and wore something that looked better with the beautiful orchid. Rowan and I attended the service together, and he told me he had sold his old car so he could buy the orchid for me. Wow! Later that afternoon in a dating parlor, Rowan told me he loved me. Rowan usually joined a couple of other fellows in ministry in a small North Carolina town each weekend, but when he was on campus, we spent Sunday afternoons together in a dating parlor. One Sunday afternoon, Rowan said, "I have a question to ask you." My heart pounded because I thought I knew what he was going to ask. He hemmed and hawed for a bit and finally looked at me and said, "Honey, what color are your eyes?" I laughed and told him, "My eyes are blue," but I felt a bit disappointed. The next Sunday he again told me he had something to ask me. And again, he just asked me a silly question. The third Sunday was Mother's Day, and he took me to the Roundup Room campus restaurant before we went to the dating parlor. He had ordered steaks for both of us the way he liked them, rare. When I saw the blood on the meat, I just could not eat it. I had never eaten steak in a restaurant, and didn't know I could have sent it back to be cooked more. Later in the dating parlor, Rowan again said he had a question to ask me. I thought, what will he say this time? This time was different. This time he looked at me and asked, "Honey, will you go to Africa with me?" How should I answer that? He didn't ask me to marry him, just, "Will you go to Africa with me?" Of course, I knew what he meant, but I wondered how I would tell anyone we were engaged if he didn't ask me to marry him. So I replied, "How?" He replied, "Well, as my wife, of course." You must know my answer. Yes! Roland and I started reading the Psalms together, a chapter each night, whether we were together in person or not. We continued this practice even after he went to Africa while I finished my courses at Bob Jones University and prepared to join him. Roland suggested a special verse for us to take as our together verse, Psalm 34, verse 3. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." We quoted this verse to each other during our wedding vows 2.5 years later in Liberia. It was our motto for our whole marriage.